Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report, International Report with our international team. This is Dr. Lee for America here with Dr. Mike Yeadon, Dr. Jonathan Gilthorpe, and Andrea Klarich is back with us from Croatia and some of his trips to other countries recently. And we'll be hearing an update on the international front, which continues to progress with the World Health Organization ramping up the pressure to push for signing the pandemic treaty that the World Health Organization has been pushing with the globalists for quite a long time, and enabling Tedros as the non-medically, non-scientifically trained director of the World Health Organization at the bequest of the major funders, the Communist Chinese Party and the Bill Gates Foundation, to then carry out dictatorial powers around the world over every country for any public health emergency of international concern. That is the legal term that triggers the implementation of global control of all health matters, whether it's human, animal, or climate. And you can be sure that climate emergency, avian flu emergencies, and all the rest, disease X fear-mongering that's been going on, is escalating in May 2024, just in time to exert more pressure on the countries that are being pushed to sign the World Health Organization pandemic dictatorship for our health. America and the world listening, we must resist this global tyranny. And one of the biggest vehicles for propaganda, lies, and deception that they are using is ginning up the fear on this highly pathogenic avian influenza. And that is being used not only to gin up fear about infection of people, but they are using that in cattle and poultry farms, dairy farms and beef cattle farms, as well as poultry farms, to start sabotaging our food supply under the guise of an infectious illness that could spread to people. This is devastating to our food supply and our survival, and we must resist the false premise and the lies that this avian flu influenza exists and is diagnosed correctly by a PCR test. The PCR test is not diagnostic, it is not specific, and it is not reliable as a way of picking up infectious diseases, whether it's COVID or avian flu or anything else. And that is what is being used to claim falsely that we have a problem on chicken farms and beef and dairy cattle farms. As a chilling example of how they are misusing this, the PCR tests, we just have an announcement from the state of Michigan declaring an emergency for avian flu. Dr. Gilthorpe has information on that that he is going to share with us, because this is happening in other states as well, not to the same degree, And many of you may remember that Michigan under Governor Gretchen Whitmer was one of the most tyrannical states in the entire United States. This Michigan governor is out of control, and this latest emergency directive under this governor in Michigan is very frightening as to what it portends for the rest of the country. Dr. Gilthorpe, thanks for addressing this Michigan Dairy Farm directive. I really think our listeners need to understand how serious and how incredibly chilling this directive really is. And as a virology and immunology researcher over your scientific career, I think it's important that you speak to this.
Yes, Dr. Lee, thanks for having me on the show this week. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, this is concerning. And you know, we've been mentioning this ramping up of fear around avian flu the last few shows. And I guess this is the first concrete step towards making this something much, it's escalation anyway, you know, in the terms of the trade of war. Yeah, so Gretchen Whitmer and Sir Tim Boring, unfortunate name, the director of the Department of Agricultural and Rural Development in Michigan, have declared a extraordinary emergency of a high pathogenic avian influenza risk reduction and response on the 1st of May 2024, so last Friday. So essentially what they've done is declare this state of war, I would say, against poultry farmers in Michigan, and also in dairy, well, because it's allegedly been detected in dairy cattle, likely through PCR, as you mentioned. I don't think cows are necessarily severely affected by avian flu. It means is that all Michigan dairy farms, as well as poultry operations considered commercial, and that means you've got over a certain number of birds, need to do this. They need to designate someone as a biosecurity manager. They need to designate a line of separation to represent the perimeter of the secure area and limit access points. They need to establish cleaning and disinfection practices and procedures at those access points for both vehicles and individuals. This must include deliveries of feed and other supplies and training for employees. And they need to establish a logbook maintaining a record of all vehicles and all individuals who have gotten out of vehicles and crossed those access points to be retained and made available for examination upon request by MDARD. All lactating dairy cattle and those in the last 2 months of pregnancy are prohibited from being exhibited until they have no new cases of HPAI in the dairy. So they're going to roll out this systematic testing, which we know what happened under COVID. The more times you test with a test, which is for something that's a very low frequency, you get more false positives. And then these poor dairy farmers and chicken farmers are going to be put under an enormous strain to carry this out for at least 30 consecutive days, it says. You know, this is where it gets curious. The order does not extend to permanent poultry exhibits in venues such as zoos. So they're not going to get infected, where you also have a lot of people, you know, crowding around. So the possibility of, you know, what they're worried about is the transmission. It's not transmission between birds. They'd happily kill a bird flock or a dairy herd. What they're worried about is possible leaping transmission to humans. But, you know, so they're keeping the zoos open, but they're closing the chicken farms. And also doesn't extend to racing pigeons. So, you know, these are birds that, let's say they are infected, they're covering colossal distances. They're going from one person to another, and they're mixing around and spreading around at random, more or less. Well, not random, because they know whether to fly. They're very clever animals. But, you know, this just shows, as we saw under COVID, this complete dichotomy or misdirection between the regulations for some and the regulations for others. If this really was a threat, if this was a really terrible disease we had to stop from spreading, it would be all birds in all situations. It wouldn't just be, you know, a few chicken farms above a certain size.
Well, it's clearly they are attacking the food supply systematically, because yeah, you don't eat zoo animals And so they're not worried about transmitting infections from zoo animals to people. And as you point out, there are a lot more crowds of people in a zoo than on a chicken farm. And I think some of those measures that you've just outlined are so draconian and so unrealistic that I don't see how the farmers and the dairy farmers or the chicken farmers would even be able to realistically carry them out.
I don't know. It's ridiculous, Dr. Lee. And as you say, Gretchen Whitmer was one of the more draconian senators or governors, rather, under the COVID period. So it's no coincidence, perhaps, that it starts in Michigan. Let's see how quickly it spreads by next week. Not the avian influenza, but the introduction of extraordinary emergency responses.
Well, I find it very chilling. I mean, she's the one who said that, for example, people couldn't buy seeds, but they could buy booze. I mean, she is just w so far off the reservation in going rogue. It's really frightening to think that the state of Michigan put her back in office. Whether that was a fair election or not, I can't say, but it was really quite concerning. But the timing of this raises the question of additional pressure in the fear-mongering in the media in order to drive people to sign the World Health Organization. But I think you also pointed out that there was a hopeful sign in the US with the senators who wrote the letter to President Biden demanding that he not sign the World Health Organization agreement.
Yes, Dr. Lee. So, I mean, it might be no coincidence that Gretchen Whitmer's declaration comes on the 1st of May. I mean, avian influenza news has been buzzing around for the last few weeks, so it's not surprising that states have prepared emergency legislation to put in place if it becomes a problem. But I think on the 1st of May, also there was a letter from, was it 36 senators? No, 49 Republican senators have written to Biden, demanding that he withdraws U.S. support from the World WHO pandemic agreement and the amendments to the IHRs. This is a tweet from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So the senators point out these two documents would give the WHO Director General the authority to unilaterally declare health emergencies. We've told you that several times. And to expand the WHO's authority over nations infringing on their sovereignty. Hello, you heard it here before. And also to interfere with free speech. So they demand that the Biden administration continues to support them, demand that if Biden administration continues to support the WHO, they must be submitted to the Senate, where a two-thirds vote is needed for ratification as a basic constitutional law. And every Republican senator has signed the letter. So that's a tremendous call. So maybe coincidental that the very same day Gretchen Whitmer, drops out this emergency thing about H5N1 flu, which is the thing that has been threatening to be the next pandemic that we've talked about quite a lot. So, yeah, just to inform the listeners that this is because the WHO is desperately trying to thrash out an agreement with all nations involved in the amendments to these international health regulations and a new pandemic treaty, which started back in 2022 when they WHO made an executive board decision. So, this is not coming from member states, this is top down. And the World Health Assembly then signed this off that they needed to embark on this process to amend the current international health regulations. And, there's something like 300 amendments that have been suggested. They're still fighting over them, different countries trying to get them changed, or, which ones to include and which ones not to. And the WHO are going through this pseudo-transparent process of providing these various meetings where they discuss this on their website, but There are a lot of irregularities happening, let's say. Things have been changed at the very last minute, things have changed under breaks, and they're now on the eighth such meeting to try and come to some kind of agreement about this. And they haven't done so yet, and they're ready to decide whether these agreements can be accepted by everyone or not in just less than, well, 20 days, more or less, 22 days. So on the 27th of May, they'll have this meeting in Geneva, the World Health Assembly that we've talked about, and they hope to be able to adopt this these things. So there will be no time for any country in the world to digest what's been decided in the final draft and to ratify that at their government level. So this is a total, pardon my French, shit show. And I think the word has got out now. There's enough countries that are resisting, and there's enough countries that realize that this is very, very bad. And it's going to escalate in the next couple of weeks because there's a lot of groups out there that are campaigning against this.
Well, it's encouraging that there has been rising level of resistance. I know, Andrea, you have talked about the resistance in Eastern Europe. What's an update on your front with regard to the WHO pandemic treaty in terms of countries in Eastern Europe that were living under the Soviet control and know how horrific this is?
Well, hello, Dr. Lee and others. It's really nice to be here, back here again. Well, in Croatia, we had just elections, and the people who were against this new treaty and WHO are now the most important people who will establish parliament. And I spoke with them. They said, for sure, the main topic will be to refuse new treaty. And that means if they really agree to become a member of government, for sure Croatia will refuse treaty, and it's a good news. But still, these negotiations are happening. I know for sure that there is organization of protest on the 30th of May. It will be in Geneva, and it will be organized convoy from all countries in Europe. Dr. Maria Mog, she's organizer, and that will be also live stream. I think Del Big Tree will live stream this event. They want to show protest that they will know they don't want to be involved in these decisions, what will be made at the last week of this month in Geneva. And I invite everybody from Europe who is listening and to join, just to show that there is a people really around Europe who doesn't want to accept, not only around the Europe, even world, who will not accept what they are preparing. That we are aware that they want to really grabbing the power for the new emergency situation of international concerns, how they call it, and everybody knows that there's this emergency situation. Could be anything what they decided, and there will be no democratic procedure in this. There will be no support from the people. There will be unelected bureaucrats who will decide about this, and we cannot accept it. I think things concerning Europe will be changed in the next elections. We have in the European Union elections on the 6th till 9th of June. If you see what happened in Croatia, I think the major rise in political power will be from the side of parties who are not supporting what WHO done during pandemic and what they are preparing to do in the future. From this side, I'm optimistic, and I hope that we will felt the same way during the last week of this month. And I heard they will sign it anyhow. But if they assign it, then we can refuse it and say, no, we will not be involved. We will not comply. And I'm optimistic about this.
Very good, very good. I know your Dr. Eden, you wanted to comment about the HHS powers.
Just briefly. Thank you, Dr. Lee. Mike Eden here again. I'm just reading an article, Substack article put out by my friend Sasha Latipova last week, and I wasn't aware of this, not sure if other people were, that in 2022, 15 attorneys general, that is 15 states attorneys general, sued Health and Human Services because they believe, and I agree, that HHS's power to declare, you know, emergencies, pandemics and the like, including in farm animals, is far too liberal. That is, and what happened after these 15 states sued HHS, they refused to back down from their ability to declare a pandemic based on, or a farm animal emergency based on a single case. So they could use a single PCR test and say, we found avian flu in a cow in Michigan, and they have the power to declare a medical emergency. Now, this is unreasonable, so the attorneys general thought, but unfortunately HHS prevailed, and the story goes that Oklahoma and Texas refiled. The judge dismissed it out of hand, and it was not appealed. And so then and now, HHS, if they want to, can use a single case of a disease they classify as communicable, and they can announce it as an emergency. So I ask you, ladies and gentlemen listening, do you think that's reasonable, that a federal agency, based on one test from things that scientists around this table have told you is not capable of accurately diagnosing the cause of illness, and also the animal or the person doesn't even have to be ill? Is that reasonable? I don't think it is. And I would say that having been in the pharmaceutical industry a long time, that the break point for me when I decided that governments could no longer be trusted was when my government in the UK, and of course famously elsewhere, including the US, materials they fraudulently called vaccines were rushed at you, and very many of you would have been injected with things that I was helplessly and censored, saying these are dangerous by design. So just to remind people, that happened at the end of 2020. So when we're saying we're very worried about HHS's powers and worried about them, frankly, lying, making a case for a public health fear, I personally think it's at least exaggerated and might be invented. And they have the powers to do it. Now we've realized we can't trust our governments. It's a shock. It used to be a joke, but this is really serious, that international governments are behaving very badly towards their citizens. And all we need to do is recognize that we've got to think for ourselves, not accept what we're being told, because it's not sound science anymore. That's really what I wanted to say, Dr. Lee, that the HHS prevailed in a legal case a couple of years ago in the States, and they retain these powers, I think, to do astonishing things, because they would appear on the TV, wouldn't they? And they would somberly say there's this health emergency or a farm animal infection emergency. And you would reasonably enough think, well, my word, this is frightening. And I'm telling you as a scientist and as someone who's observed what went on in the law courts, that it's almost magic. They can pretend that there's a medical emergency or a farm animal emergency that's not real. So keep your discernment up and think, does this make sense? Are they telling me the truth? Because I don't think they will be. That's what I wanted to say.
That is powerfully important. And we saw the way they lied to us throughout the COVID tyranny, because the lie was asymptomatic spread. The lie was that you could diagnose it with a PCR test, which all of us have been saying all along. Even the inventor of the test said it wasn't to be used as a diagnostic test. And now HHS is able to expand its powers into the veterinary field and our food supply. It was the Agency of Health and Human Services. So it's very terrifying to hear what you just said, that based on one PCR test, they can call another medical emergency, and we risk the slaughter of our food animals. It's very frightening, and I can't emphasize enough how important what Dr. Gilthorpe and Dr. Eden have just said about the fraudulent science being used to pretend there is an emergency that justifies an assault on our lives and our freedom, but also an assault on our food supply. America, this, you better pay attention to what we're warning about, because your life will once again be at stake. Let's take a break here, and we'll be right back after the break. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report from Truth For Health Foundation. Check out our website at www.truthforhealth.org and check out our store with reputable, high quality, good manufacturing practices produced nutraceuticals and vitamins that can help you stay healthy and avoid some of the problems that our government is claiming are headed our way. We'll be right back after the break.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth For Health Foundation. The Truth For Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
Hello, everyone. This is Lieutenant Mark Bashaw, U.S. Army and legal grant recipient of the Truth For Health Foundation. I want to give a huge shout out to the Truth For Health Foundation for helping me and my family over the past year with our legal battles. Recently, I was court-martialed for not participating with these experimental COVID-19 emergency use authorized products. If it wasn't for Truth For Health Foundation and all the support, I would definitely be in a worse spot. But because of all the support, I'm able to continue uniform service, fighting for what's right to protect the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Welcome back to the second half of the Whistleblower Report, with an update from our international team about what's going on the international front and across the U.S. that is affecting our freedom and our ability to push back against the tyranny of the World Health Organization takeover of public health responses globally and the tyranny of our own governments that are lying to the public about the seriousness of this supposed avian flu illness that they're diagnosing on the PCR test. So what else would you like to bring up on the avian flu concerns? I know, Dr. Gilthorpe, you have a long background in this field. Are there any other pointers that you want our listeners to know about? I mean, I've mentioned multiple times that we have antibiotics we've had for decades that are safe and effective to treat avian flu if it happens. Doxycycline is one of the best, for example, and it's widely available. So we don't need to live in fear of it. Are there other points that you or Dr. Eden want to bring up?
Well, I could just bring up that I don't I've never seen avian influenza as a significant problem, Dr. Lee. I mean, I've heard that it transmits from birds to humans, as allegedly does, influenza every year, where it comes out of reservoirs, mainly in China, in bird populations, domestic ducks and chickens and things, and then sweeps its way westward every year. And we all need to get vaccinated because of that. And every once in a while, a nasty variant pops up, and we should all run for the hills as we're threatened with our very lives. But the truth is that this happens so rarely. How many times in my lifetime has a serious wave of influenza struck? Actually, never. And I'm in my mid-50s. You can argue that the swine influenza, which is related, was deployed in order to commit some kind of mass vaccination program. But that vaccination program was certainly very deadly, very dangerous, very threatening to life, and it caused many cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome, and particularly sleeping sickness, or narcolepsy, which is a sleeping sickness, if you like. And many more people were probably injured by that vaccination campaign than they were by the actual disease itself. So there's really nothing to worry about. I mean, you stay home if you feel sick, you rest until you feel better, you get medical help if you need it, and you wash your hands, which is the best way to, stop any kind of bacterial borne or viral borne transmission, I would say. If in case, if you're actually susceptible to it. But I think that Mike brought up a very interesting paper that was published in Nature just recently about how difficult it was to even transmit SARS-CoV-2 between people in a trial setting.
No, that's right. There was just a recent article. It was very, very interesting. It looked like investigators had honorably attempted to infect healthy volunteers or volunteers with a preparation which they believe would contain this virus, and lo and behold, they were not able to infect anybody. So, I have my own interpretation of that, but I think what one can conclude that it's not at all easy to acquire these illnesses, and that was, as Dr. Lee said earlier, that was one of the lies they tried to frighten you, and it was successful in many cases. I was frightened myself initially in the first month or so, but it turned out there was nothing to be frightened of that was not usual and could be coped with good, with good medical care. And so, one thing I wanted to notice, you may have noticed this, depending on whether you travelled in and out the US or your own country in the last few years, that you may have been in a situation where you were required to have some sort of certificate to show that you were free of something, like a negative PCR test. I had to use that to enter the US in 2021, I think it was, because I came to visit Dr. Lee. And then in other countries, certainly some in Europe, people were required to have a vaccination certificate to show they'd had the jab. Now, by now, I think you probably know by now, that these so-called vaccines didn't even stop people catching this damn thing. They didn't work, is the bottom line. They didn't work and they weren't safe. So if they didn't work, why are you being asked to have a certificate to show you've had it? It's absurd, isn't it? And this is my point. It's not this, what's going on is pseudo-logical. It's not really logical. It's a story. And where it goes is that if they manage to frighten us with avian flu, sure as eggs is eggs, there will be lockdowns, there will be restrictions, and you'll be offered an injection. And my experience of 30, 33 years in the industry tells you these materials they're preparing, so-called mRNA vaccines, are inherently dangerous. So now that colours a lot of my reaction to what's happening now, because I'm fearful. I think it's pretty likely they're going to play the script out again, and these people are not honourable. So that's why I react sometimes in the way I do. It's not just an ordinary, it's just ordinary veterinary surveillance. No, I think they're The drumbeat is coming up to make you frightened. They'll declare something, there'll be restrictions, and you'll be offered an injection. And why are we being asked to have digital certification of being jabbed? It's because they want, if your ability to do things, to buy and sell, to maybe enter a shop, to get on a plane, to get money from your bank, if it's going to depend on, have you got your current digital certificate of vaccination? Eventually, it becomes a digitally permissioned world, which I think is the kind of thing that people who I won't name, who own IT companies, that's their little dream. These are failed people who think they can control the world by converting us all into, you know, digital things instead of a person. So if you sign up for an international digital ID, you don't need a digital ID. You've got five ways of proving who you are already. So that's what I fear, ultimately, that they'll, you know, that the world's going to get controlled by digital IDs and digital vaccine certificates. And I personally think you don't need them. The perpetrators of what is a crime, in my mind, they need you to have one, because then they can control everything you do forever. So be very suspicious of all of this stuff. I'll pause.
Very well said. I quite agree with you. I think all of this is one massive propaganda of fear campaign that is designed to terrify people and control them that way, and then get them to agree to the digital controls that we've all been talking about. Are there other updates on the international front that we want to share with our listeners today?
I think there's a very important update from your home state, Dr. Lee. So in Arizona, the I'll just pull up the article that I was going to let people know about. But so the Arizona GOP, the Republican Party, have now declared COVID injections to be biological weapons. This was, I think, also last Friday. There's an article on Gateway Pundit. I'll post the link. So they declared COVID-19 injections to be biological and technological weapons and passed a ban the jab resolution by an astounding 96% majority. So the Arizona Republican Party is now the second state Republican Party to pass a ban the jab resolution and declare COVID-19 injections as biological weapons. Dan Schultz of precinctstrategy.com submitted the ban the jab resolution that the Republican Party accepted with a resounding majority. So I think that's extremely good news, Dr. Lee. You know, states are starting to wake up. And this is also brought about by the pressure that, you know, as you, the listeners, or hopefully are contacting your senators and your local politicians, wherever you are, and putting pressure on them and asking them questions why this is happening, because they won't be able to answer those questions, and they will, you know, eventually have to turn around and do something about it if they want to keep their jobs. So keep it up, everyone, because it's working.
Well, I think that was very significant, and I'm grateful that you remembered to bring that up. I thought it was interesting that the Arizona GOP senators referred to the COVID shots not only as biological weapons, which we've been bringing to light for 3 years, but also now call them technological weapons. And that brings up some of the other information coming to light by a number of different people who have brought out the fact that there appears to be something in the shots that allows electronic tracking. And we can go into that in more detail another time. But one of the things that was striking, and Dr. Yeadon just commented about how terrifying it is, because it goes to his point about the digital control. This is the 50 in 5 plan And this is a post summarizing on social media the latest proposed partnership between Bill Gates and the UN. And the author starts out with, imagine an Orwellian hellscape on par with the one described in the Book of Revelation. Then multiply that by 100. The 50 in 5 plan refers to the UN partnership with Bill Gates to build something called a digital public infrastructure. 50 countries in 5 years agree to this rollout. They already have 14 countries who've agreed. And think of this as a digital gulag for humanity that uses all the things Dr. Mike Eden was just talking about. Dr. Eden, you want to summarize the components?
Yeah, just I've got it in front of me. Digital IDs. So I just talked about that. You don't need a digital ID. You've already got plenty of ways to prove who you are for every purpose. And I have two. I'm 64. I don't need a new digital ID. The other one is central bank digital currencies. Every country I've looked at, it says 98% of governments in the world are working on this. What that means is you would bank with the central government and there would be no cash, I promise you. So it'll be that combination is all they need to control you, because they can say, show your digital ID before you do anything up to and including spending, but also payment processing systems, digital health certificates, which will be part of the new international health treaty amendments to be decided in May 2024. And also the digital currency could be programmable. So, for example, if you don't spend it within the month, it'll expire. I mean, does that happen to your dollars right now? It doesn't, does it? Even if they're in your bank account, they can get destroyed by inflation. Or you could lose them if you took it out as cash and someone stole it. But this would be programmable money. Someone can program it to expire at a time and point, time in the future. And anyway, that, and so it goes on. So that I think that is an Orwellian hellscape. I don't want to be part of that.
Well, the other aspect that you don't hear very much about that was mentioned in this article, the Bank for International Settlements is developing a universal blockchain ledger to tokenize every asset, every farm, house, car, everything in the universe. And you can only access this ledger using biometric digital ID and using your digital currency. This creates a digital gulag for all of us. And we can only survive if we're allowed to access this universal blockchain ledger. This is the social credit score to end all credit scores. And in fact, it will end our lives if we try to resist. This is chilling beyond words. In fact, it goes very much to the Book of Revelation and the Mark of the Beast. And students of the Bible may want to go back and read what it says about that, because that's where this is going. And this is the universal ledger and this new partnership with Bill Gates and the UN is already developing it in 14 countries. So all of us need to be aware that we better pay attention and resist these efforts at controlling every aspect of our lives. Any comments in closing from all of you?
Well, I think you summed it up there, Dr. Lee. I think, you know, Bill Gates would like to install these Windows in all of us, and we just need to say no. I was never a fan of Windows anyway, and the problem is you just slow down over time if you get it installed. So say no, everyone. I see this as what's happened, I think, you know, if you look at this on a bigger scale, is that the technology has arisen mainly within military groups and with military research in order to be able to control the global population through digital means. They just need to trap us in that prison. So we have to kick and fight and do whatever we can to maintain our freedom and to maintain the rights that we have, that God gave us. They weren't given to us by the DOD or any military organization or any philanthropist pretending to be a philanthropist, at least like Mr. Gates. So resist, everybody, because otherwise this will be the future that we all get or our children get. And I'm not willing to accept that.
No, I agree with you. And I know, Andrea, having lived under communism, definitely feels strongly about that. Your closing comments, Andrea.
Yes, yes. I said a few times, and I can confirm it really, that whatever they're preparing for us is looks like exactly like communism, but even worse now, because now they have technology. And for sure, people who were, well, in charge in Yugoslavia in 70s, 60s, if they had this kind of technology at that time, they will use it the same way like they are planning to use this. That means make us in, put us in this digital gulag, make the social credit system, make us same in the same way, make this one health standard. And well, we really, really need to look in China what is happening. And for sure, this is something what they are preparing here. We need to say no, not comply and fight as much as possible.
Dr. Yeadon, your thoughts as we wrap up today?
I don't think I've got anything new to add, except, and this is a faith-based broadcast, I would say, you know, for those of us who are not, get right with God.
And that is true, because ultimately, this is a cataclysmic spiritual battle between the forces of evil trying to destroy God's creation of earth and all life on it, and our individual liberty, life, and our ability to own the fruits of our labor are gifts of our Creator, not the government. So, as Dr. Yeadon said, get right with God, repent, turn back to Him, and we all work together to resist the tyranny, the control of our lives, so that we can live our lives as God designed us, in freedom and in health. This is Dr. Lee for America, and we'll be back again with another Whistleblower Report, so stay tuned. Thank you for joining us today, and check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org. Sign up for our email newsletters and take a look at truthforhealthstore.com. We'll be back again. Thanks for joining us.